This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack, now extended until the end of August. Order today at EdenPure.com and don't forget to use code word Howie3.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It is Monday. We have tons to get to. That is not an exaggeration. So much news broke over the weekend. Some of it's really lighthearted, kind of funny stuff. Funny bad takes on Twitter, updates on major, you know, Anthony Fauci's back out there. Kim Janey was caught maskless the first night of the mask mandate. Come on. Come on, Kim. You got to be better than that. I wrote about that for the Boston Herald. I don't normally go so local, but I called Howie up on Saturday morning and I said, someone sent me a picture of Kim Janey last night at a restaurant in the North End without a mask on. And I need to write about it. And Howie and the Herald said, go for it. And it felt really good. It was like cathartic, you know, to really get out all of my anger in about 700 words. So we have all sorts of stuff like that. We have Eddie Scary coming on at 105. He's always a great guest. And the reason I wanted to have Eddie on was for a more serious topic, which is what's going on in Afghanistan and specifically Joe Biden's inept handling of it. And what Eddie wrote about today, which I think is a theme a lot of people are writing about, including The Spectator has a piece on it right now. It's that Joe Biden for a really long time was hailed as this sympathetic, empathetic, grandfather type guy who cared and cried and you know, he felt emotion and he was the anti-Trump. And what we're seeing now is that you really ought to judge your politicians based off their actions and, you know, not the warm, fuzzy things that they say that make you go, aw. Because the ahs don't really help in a situation like this. And what's actually happening now is that that empathy that Joe Biden, I never bought into it, but it's kind of crumbling when you see him in a situation like this, a really devastating situation. If you've been you know, on vacation, or if you've missed it, last week's news was, it was heart-wrenching. I mean, there was a lot of really bad stuff that happened, including 13 U.S. service members who died in a terrorist attack in Afghanistan. I think it's over 100 civilians who died. It was just a really hard week in news. And this weekend was, Joe Biden's had a few chances since then to cement himself as a strong leader, you know, and this is a terrible situation, but this is when you look to your president and you see how they react. And he, by all accounts, has failed tremendously. Not only did he fail those U.S. service members and those civilians by this sloppy withdrawal, but he also has made a lot of unforced errors about PR-wise. And I hate to say this, but that is what's happening at a lot of these things. When you go to a solemn ceremony where the caskets are coming in of 13 U.S. service members, you go there to pay your respects, but it's also the world is watching you. And Joe Biden looked at his watch during it. And now, I'm not usually so easy on Joe, but I do think with guys, you know, stretching out your hand and checking your watch can be a little bit of a nervous tick, you know, a nervous habit that you don't even realize you're doing. I have no question he has no idea what he's doing. You know, he doesn't realize if he's doing it there or if he's at a carnival or if he's in New Hampshire, if he's in
Keene. Biden's losing it.
So in that sense, I don't think it was a purposeful dig at those U.S. service members. But that's something that a president who was with it would know not to do in that situation. You know, that's something a Donald Trump or even a Barack Obama would have the wherewithal not to do. Joe Biden doesn't have that. He also went to the FEMA headquarters. I have a long list of things just to hit today on his response to the Afghanistan crisis. And it's all bad. There's no part of this where he nailed it. You know, there's no part of this where Jen Psaki can come out and say this is a tremendous success. It's all crumbling before our very eyes. And one of them was he was at FEMA headquarters in D.C. because obviously Hurricane Ida is hitting Louisiana. I think it's been downgraded to a tropical storm, but still very, very rough situation there for those people. Our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in Louisiana. Please stay safe. And so he goes to FEMA headquarters and a journalist asks him about Afghanistan. He two things he does. One, the classic, I was told not to take questions, which always begs our own question of who is telling you this? Who is the Kathy Bates in this misery scenario? Who is strapping you down at night, feeding you pudding and saying, and don't forget, no questions. Is it Jen Psaki? Is it Jill? I would like to know. And then on the flip side, he likes to say, I was told not to ask questions, but I'm such a benevolent guy. You know, I'm such a generous leader. I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. I'm Joe Biden. I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. You know, he likes that whole idea. I was told not to do it, but I'm a bad boy. I'm going to take your question anyway. And then they ask the question and he goes, no, nope, not answering on Afghanistan, walks away. I've seen more of President Biden's back in the last couple of days than I've seen of him. He's constantly turning his back on the American people. Figuratively and literally, he is literally on his heels walking away from us. And, you know, that was something that I, when I really think of it, when Donald Trump used to hold press conferences, whether it was about COVID or the economy, whatever he was talking about, he would throw it out to the people. Sometimes it was like celebrating a huge success. You know, it would be, oh, you know, the economy is doing great, or he would have some deal with Mexico, something, you know, they were there to talk about something good. And he would throw it out to the reporters. And the first questions would always be like, what do you say to people who think you're separating families at the border and destroying lives and who think you are a terrible, terrible orange monster? What do you say to those people? And I would sit here and watch it. And sometimes I would say, why doesn't he tell them that's not what this meeting is about? I'm not taking those questions. But the more I look back, it's because Trump knew that was the job. Trump knew that at any time, whether you're at FEMA headquarters, whether you're in front of the chopper, whether, you know, whether you're with the troops, wherever you are, if you get a question, it's fair game. Joe Biden doesn't understand that because the questions he is used to, the questions he has made his bones on have been about ice cream and Pelotons and how much he loves Jill and what's he getting her for Valentine's Day. And Major's such a frisky boy. Did he bite someone again? Those are the questions that are this guy's bread and butter. And now we're seeing what happens when journalists actually start doing their jobs. Begrudgingly. Totally begrudgingly. You can hear it in their voices. They're very apologetic that they have to ask Joe these questions. You know, they introduce every question with like, please, sir, don't be mad. This, I know this is, don't shoot the messenger. There's a poll that says you suck at your job. And again, it's just what the American people are saying. Not me. I think you're doing swell. That's the temperature right now among the press. But when something like this happens, where you lose 13 U.S. service members, and it's a travesty, all of a sudden, the press, they can't really run cover for Joe Biden because there's people like Kathy McCollum, whose son Riley died, who are not going to sugarcoat it, you know, who don't care if they're politically correct. They don't care if they're going to get canceled. They don't care if they're going to get made fun of by Joy Reid because they lost somebody. She lost her son. She lost her whole world. And she doesn't give a damn if Joe Biden likes what she has to say. She's going to say it anyway. And you've got 13 families and you know, countless friends and people whose lives are now in turmoil because of this guy. And they don't care if he feels bad. They don't care if his heart aches. They don't care if he has his head in his hand. They want answers. They want answers. The stakes are too high to give a damn if Joe Biden's feelings are hurt. And that's what you're going to start to see play out here. We have sound from Kathy McCall, and we have great sound from a lot of different people criticizing Joe Biden, criticizing this administration, and looking for answers, which is very refreshing after the last few months. We will be back on the other side. We'll play you some of the sound. I'm going to have the phone lines open for this entire hour. I want to hear what people have to say. And there's also, before we go to break here, I should add, there's a lot of other layers to this. We found out today that Secretary of State Anthony Blinken was in the Hamptons, of all places, when Kabul fell. So that's another part of this. We have new updates from Kirby, who always looks like a deer in the headlights, still has no answers on things. And we have a lot of different stuff to get to. So I'm excited to take your calls, hear what you guys have to say about it. 844-500-4242. What do you think? Is the media done running cover for Joe Biden? There are still some holdouts, you know. Jim Acosta is still trying his best, but it looks like the winds have shifted. And I don't know what's going to happen next. 844-500-4242. Call in. We'll take calls for the rest of the hour. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Commissioner, I really think it all works. I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Mr. President, on Afghanistan...
I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now.
Can you say if there's still an acute risk?
Not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead. And then quickly follows up with not taking that question. At least he didn't say I was instructed not to take any questions, because that word seemed to bother people last week. And also, I should have mentioned this in the opening, but another horrible element of this is that they had a drone strike that killed 9 family members, according to CNN, including children, were killed in the U.S. strike in Kabul targeting suspected ISIS-K suicide bomber. I saw over the weekend that, you know, they were doing victory laps. Oh, we got 2 terrorists. We're not going to release their names. You know, it's all very... And not to bring up the dog here, because this is obviously way more serious, but there was a good piece in The Federalist about the dog, and it basically said, you know, false in one, false in all. How can we believe you if you're lying about these stupid things like the dog? And that's another perfect example, is that you see a big story, like, oh, we killed 2 terrorists, but we're not going to give you the names of them. And you go, I don't even know if I believe that. Like, I really don't know. And I don't know who's running things at this point. Obviously, it's not Joe Biden. But even some of the responses I'm seeing from the higher ups right now that are supposed to be the, you know, as we like to say here, the best and the brightest. Like, this is an update from the U.S. Central Command statement on the defensive strike in Kabul. We are aware of reports of civilian casualties following our strike on a vehicle in Kabul today. And then later on in the statement, it says, it is unclear what may have happened and we are investigating further. We would be deeply saddened by any potential loss of innocent life. Okay, so you guys, it's the old Barack Obama. We're figuring this out at the same time you guys are. We found out today when we got the newspaper that 9 family members, including 6 children, are dead. And they had nothing, according to a lot of these reports, this family had nothing to do with ISIS or anything like that. They were just civilians. It says all the neighbors tried to help and brought water to put out the fire. And I saw that there were 5 or 6 people dead. A neighbor told CNN, the father of the family and another young boy. And there were 2 children. They were dead. They were in pieces. There were also 2 wounded. Well, if it makes it better, they would be deeply saddened by any potential loss of innocent life. Like, is that supposed to make this situation better, that you guys have no idea what you're doing? It's really despicable. We will play Kathy McCollum, but let's first go to the calls here. Ann, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ann.
Oh, good morning. Oh, good afternoon already, Grace. I don't like your choice of words. As far as I'm concerned, those 13 Americans were murdered. A terrorist murdered them by jumping into the crowd with a bomb on his body. And who's responsible for this murder? I would say Joe Biden is an accomplice. So is Joe Biden the murderer?
Well, I do know what you're saying, Anne, and I agree with you that, yes, they were murdered. You're right. I mean, there was a suicide bomber who killed these guys and who murdered them. I don't want to say that Joe Biden's an accomplice. I think all I'm trying to say, and when I use that language, is I'm just trying to. I hate hyperbole, you know, and I'm not saying that Joe Biden isn't responsible for the disaster that's ensuing, but I just try to keep the language as reasonable as I can, so I can get the story out. But I do agree with you, Ann. I don't disagree that those 13 U.S. service members were murdered at all. And I appreciate the call, and I appreciate listening. Jill, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jill.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to you over this last week, and I listen to you a lot. And Grace, it's such horrific events that are taking place. I'm angry. I'm passionate about this country. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe Biden, and I don't even call him the president. I call him by his name, Biden. I believe this is part of a bigger plan to discredit and destroy America. Between what's going on in Afghanistan, this COVID lockdown, there's a plan, Grace, but it has to be stopped. I don't know, Grace, if you've heard of Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. He was relieved of his command for speaking out. If you don't know of him, I suggest you watch his YouTube videos. But
I have seen his YouTube videos. I think we were playing a little bit of him on Friday, Jill, just so I can keep people up to speed here. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller published a new video online on Sunday addressing his resignation just days after he went viral for calling out his superior. So he called out Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, the guy from the outfit, and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley. He slammed the military for leaving the Bagram Air Base before all Americans and their allies had the chance to be evacuated. And he has now said his family and Marines he has served with have praised his courage for speaking out. So I have looked into Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, and he's definitely walking the walk here. I mean, he gives up a cushy pension by leaving the Marines. But Jill, I wouldn't be surprised, and I want to know what you think about this. I think there's going to be more people like this who say, I can't be tied to this. This is wrong.
I believe you're accurate, Grace. Yes, it's going to happen. And I don't know if you've seen Stuart Scheller's recent YouTube video he posted last night, but something's going to be taking place. He's officially resigned. He was just relieved of command, but according to his video, he's now resigned. If you can get him on your show, that would be awesome to talk to him, because I think he's going to be revealing things that is going to shock the American people.
Yeah, well, we'll look into it, Jill, and I appreciate the call. We will look into having him on the show. I'm sure he's slammed right now. I also would love to look into getting Kathy McCollum on the show. We'll play that sound on the other side. I appreciate the call. Let's go to one more call here quickly. Johnny, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Johnny.
Miss Grace, how you doing there, darling?
I'm good. What's going on?
How's seafood been treating you? Howie treating you right?
Yes, Howie's great. He's on vacation today, but he's the best.
All right. Well, here's the love, here's the deal. Yes, I listen to that Lieutenant Colonel, and I'll tell you something right now. That man spoke the truth. His biggest issue is treason. He might have been Leavenworth.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll keep you guys posted on how it plays out, but I give him a lot of credit for stepping forward. And I keep talking to people about it this weekend, and I'm like, if I were Milley, or if I were Austin, or if I were even Jake Sullivan, I would say, I can't be part of this. This is a disaster. We'll be back. I'll tell you guys about a shocking report in the Washington Post. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone. All right, so I do want to get to the Kathy McCollum sound. She was on a radio show yesterday, and we will play you that. I think the sound is really moving, and it's really emotional. She's very angry, and it's very understandable why. I mean, by what we're seeing, this is not an administration that knows what it's doing. And listen to this damning report. This is reported in the Washington Post. Excuse me. All right, here we go. In a hastily arranged in-person meeting, senior U.S. military leaders in Doha, including McKenzie, the commander of U.S. Central Command, spoke with Abdul Ghani Baradar, head of the Taliban's political wing. "We have a problem," Baradar said, according to the U.S. officials. "We have two options to deal with. You," meaning the U.S. military, "take responsibility for securing Kabul, or you have to allow us to do it." Throughout the day, Biden had remained resolute in his decision to withdraw all American troops from Afghanistan. The collapse of the Afghan government hadn't changed his mind. McKenzie, now this is the important part. McKenzie, aware of those orders, told Baradar, this is the, again, Baradar is the head of the Taliban's political wing, that the U.S. mission was only to evacuate American citizens, Afghan allies, and others at risk. The United States, he told him, needed the airport to do that. On the spot, an understanding was reached, according to two U.S. officials. The United States could have the airport until August 31st, but the Taliban would control the city. Now, Mark Thiessen tweeted this out and said, "At Washington Post reports that Taliban offered to stay out of Kabul and let U.S. forces secure the city. We told them we only needed the airport. We could have controlled the airport and Kabul and evacuated everyone, but we chose not to. The incompetence is stunning." I've seen the word stunning used a lot lately because people on both sides are really in awe of how poorly this was planned. And at great cost. You know, there's a lot of things Joe Biden does that garner criticism, especially from the conservative circles on Twitter. But most of it, whether it's gas prices, you know, his statement to OPEC begging for oil, or, you know, wearing a mask outside or getting lost in the bushes, a lot of it is just things we write columns about, we talk about. But this is so different. You know, this is an unforced error that caused 13 U.S. service members to be killed and over 100 civilians to be killed. And he deserves all of this criticism and then some. He's getting a lot of criticism from Kathy McCollum. Now, let's go over this a little bit. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about this over the weekend. Kathy McCollum, whose 20-year-old son Riley was among the 13 U.S. service members killed in the attack, told SiriusXM talk show host Andrew Wilco on the Wilco Majority show that she blamed the dementia-ridden president for his death. Now, we're going to play these cuts. Feel free to call in if you have a reaction, 844-500-4242. Let's start with Kathy McCollum, cut three.
It is so disgusting that these people cannot even acknowledge the fact that they just killed my son for nothing, for an ill-managed debacle of a freaking withdrawal from a country that we had total control of. That's what gets me. That's what gets me. If my son would have gone in on when my boyfriend did on in March of 03 to freaking defend our country against terrorists, that would have been one thing. But this is a whole nother animal.
She's absolutely correct. And I know we're not used to hearing it. You know, you're not used to these military families really speaking out against the commander in chief. But it's hard to deny that he did not plan for this. And really, I think the point that she drives home that a lot of people have made is that this seems to have been, I guess you could say, an unforced error, but you could also say this was the result of someone who wanted a PR opportunity. This is the result of a guy who wanted to be able to say on September 11th, "I got everyone out of Afghanistan." And it didn't matter, you know, if there were repercussions for that, as long as his ego was satisfied. And when you lose your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife because an old guy has an ego that is massive and out of control, you are going to be that angry. This was all for his optics. He couldn't just leave well enough alone. We had zero combat deaths since February 2020. But Joe Biden, he's Joe Biden. He knows best, you know? And I've mentioned this quote before, but don't forget what Barack Obama said. Don't underestimate Joe's ability to bleep things up. Every time I say it, I get closer to slipping up and actually saying the quote, because it's my favorite quote of all time. I would like to get that on a t-shirt. I might give that idea to Howie when he comes back from vacation. Let's play. This is Kathy McCollum, cut four.
For every Democrat who cheated or voted for Biden, that left my son in harm's way and allowed this dementia-ridden piece of crap who is a treasonous man who just got into office because he was running out of funds for his family. You did this to my son. Every Democrat that's listening, you did this to my son to prop up a disgusting human being.
Absolutely. Again, you should feel guilty if you voted for this guy. He's responsible for the travesties that are unfolding, but it is about time that some of these Democrats who were so horrified by the mean tweets, and they just loved how Joe Biden, you know, he just seems like a nice person. He rides his bike. Dr. Jill's a teacher. Did you know that? He eats a lot of ice cream. He's a grandpa. Those people deserve to know that your lazy, ill-informed vote has put a man in office who is not fit to be the president of the United States. And if the gas prices and all that stuff didn't do it, fine. I understand. You want to go to the cocktail parties and tell people you voted for Joe Biden because you just couldn't stand Trump. But now you got to wake up. For the sake of you, for the sake of your kids, for the sake of your grandkids, you have to wake up to the fact that this man is not all there. And you have a big, big responsibility the next time around to right this terrible wrong. I'm not going to lie to people. I won't forgive people who voted for this guy. You know, I'll be cordial and whatever. But in the back of my head, I do think it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace that we allowed this to happen. Let's also play the last one, cut five.
I never thought in a million years that he would die for nothing, because a feckless, dementia-ridden piece of crap decided he wanted a photo op on September 11th. That's what kills me. I wanted my son to represent our country, to fight for my country, but I never thought that a feckless piece of crap would send him to his death and smirk on television while he's talking about people dying with his nasty smirk.
You can feel the anger. She's speaking, you know, it's such a personal situation and it's such a tremendous loss for a mother, but she's speaking for a lot of people who have just had it. Now, this is from the Washington Post. Biden meets with families of service members killed in Kabul as U.S. races to exit Afghanistan. And I want to read one specific part that a lot of people were pointing out today. The pain it has caused was on stark display on an overcast day at Dover Air Force Base as the remains were moved from the massive C-17 jet that brought them home into large transport vans. The sound of anguished sobs could be heard at points from the area reserved for family members of the dead. The process is known as a dignified transfer. Now I'm going to skip down here. But this time, it talks about how Joe Biden has a painful family history that has enabled him to offer consolation to grieving Americans, which is true. Joe Biden has lost his son, Beau, to brain cancer, his first wife, and I think his daughter they were in a terrible car accident. I'm not denying any of that. But this is what the Washington Post writes. But this time he was present for tragic circumstances, he has accepted blame for setting into motion. And some family members of the dead service members remained angry with him, including the family of Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCollum, one of the 13 Americans who died last week. We just listened to Riley's mother. One of McCollum's sisters, Royce, said she and her sister and her father joined McCollum's wife, Janaya McCollum, on the trip. But when it came time to meet with the president, they left the room because she said they did not want to speak with the man they held responsible for McCollum's death. Only Janaya, who is expecting the couple's child next month, stayed. But she left disappointed, Roy said. The president brought up his son, Beau, according to her account, describing his son's military service and subsequent death from cancer. It struck the family as scripted and shallow, a conversation that lasted only a couple of minutes. In total disregard to the loss of our Marine, Roy said. You can't bleep up as bad as he did and say you're sorry, Roy said of the president. This did not need to happen, and every life is on his hands. Now, there's another story here about Paula Noss, who was also watching it from the television, and she was emotional about her son, Ryan Noss. There was heartbreak over losing him. There was pride for a hero who saved the lives of over 2,000 Afghans. But there was also disappointment over what Noss deemed a lack of leadership and protection for the service members in Afghanistan. Again, this is from the Washington Post. Really damning stuff. And as Stephen Miller pointed out, and as Eddie Scarry is also going to explain to us in the next hour, all Biden had was the Empathetic Grandpa Act. That's pretty much gone now. Yeah, if him, you know, saying he's not going to take questions or brushing this off or saying the Afghans falling from the sky, that was 4 or 5 days ago, or checking his watch, I mean, or turning his back again and again and again and again on the American people. If that doesn't do it, if that doesn't, you know, shatter this fake empathetic act he's got going, I don't know what will. Let's go to Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. Not only do we have a president that's not qualified, we have a vice president that's not qualified, a director of national intelligence that's not qualified. You can go right down the line into his cabinet. Not one of these people are qualified for the position they're in. The transportation secretary is a small-town mayor of a city that didn't have over 100,000 people, and he's running the whole shebang for the, you know.
Wait, Joe, can I stop you there for 1 second? Because you make a lot of great points, and I just want to tell people that Pete Buttigieg, all of these people that you're mentioning, and you're absolutely on the mark with that. It gets scarier as you go down the list. No one knows what they're doing. You see National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, or you see John Kirby, the Pentagon press secretary, and you really think, wow, these morons, these lightweights are in charge. But some of the people you're referencing, Pete Buttigieg and others, they're actually in line for the presidency. And if anyone wants to read about that and about these lightweights that are next in line, if Joe Biden finally decides he's going to retire to a life of eating ice cream around the clock, you should go to gracecurlyshow.com or howiecarshow.com and check out Howie's latest column in the Boston Herald, because he breaks down exactly what Joe is saying. Every single one of these people is scarier than the next because they have no idea what they're doing. And to Joe's point here, before I go to break, let's play a little bit of John Kirby, because something that blows my mind, and Jared brought it up today. He came into my office and he said, you know, it's a scary thought that the Taliban knows how many Americans are in Afghanistan, but the U.S. government has no idea. And it's not like they haven't been asked this question every single day, sometimes twice, three times a day, and they still have nothing. Let's play cut 12. This is John Kirby.
Well, our reporting is saying that there are about 7,000 of the 88,000. So that leaves more than 80,000 SIVs and their family members left behind. Does the Pentagon see that as a success, leaving 80,000 people, SIVs, who worked alongside our troops behind?
Carla, I can't verify that number, that the math you just gave me, and I can't tell you what the breakdown is right now between the more than 112,000, maybe more, Afghans that we were able to evacuate in the course of less than a couple of weeks. I can't give you the breakdown right now. I honestly can't.
He can't give you the breakdown of SIVs, but he also can't give you the breakdown of the number of Americans. We'll play that cut on the other side. It's just pathetic. And he's angry at the press for asking. Like, isn't this your job? You're the press secretary for the Pentagon. You're acting like these people have no right to be wondering how many people are over there. And even if they did tell us, you know, do we really believe that? You can times it by eight. It's like you can take it like a major's biting incidents. Whatever they tell you, times it by eight. And that's probably what the real number is. All right. Inflation is surging. U.S. gas prices on average are up 40% since January. This means prices on everything are going up and you need to stretch your dollar and look for ways to save money. One solution is the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. This dual hybrid heating system is disrupting the heating market. It heats 50% better than other space heaters, which means a dramatic savings on your heating bills. I always forget about the heating bills, you know, because in the summertime you get so used to having the windows open and then the heating bills come back. Everyone's trying to push it out. You know, you try to go as far as you can without turning the heat on. With this, it's great because especially during those fluctuating months where you're not sure what the weather's going to be, you just turn this on and it heats up right where you are, which is great. The Eden Pure Gen 40 heater combines infrared heat and convective heat to warm a room. Other heaters only use one form of heat and aren't nearly as effective as the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The heater is completely safe around kids and pets. The Eden Pure Gen 40 pre-sale is on now for this week only. Use code word GRACEDEAL and save $50 off the sale price. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and don't forget code word GRACEDEAL. You need to be ready for inflation that could increase prices for other things like groceries, utility bills, and more. Don't worry about the heat. That's something you don't need to worry about. So go to EdenPureDeals.com and don't forget code word GRACEDEAL. I'll be back with your calls and more sound. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
chips. You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which of these latest COVID hypocrites is your favorite? Muriel Bowser, Kim Janey, Nancy Pelosi, or Rashida Tlaib?
I'm going to say Kim Janey. I'm going with a local woman. I was amazed by this. I was actually elated. I immediately called Frank Mendoza, Howie Carr, lots of different people who are invested in getting rid of these masks. And I think she did us all a favor by exposing how much of a fraud she is. So I'll pick Kim Janey.
Kim Janey in second place at 19%, 55% for Nancy Pelosi.
And I know there's a lot of people who have been COVID hypocrites, but this is like the second wave of COVID hypocrites. This is
the Delta variant of COVID hypocrisy.
This all happened recently. Quickly here before we go, let's go to John from the South Shore. Go ahead, John, really quick. John, you there? Oh, we lost John. All right, Russ, really quick, go ahead.
Grace, at graveside of these brave American heroes, the flag will be given to a family member. It will be said, on behalf of the president and a grateful nation. What they should say, on behalf of our incompetent president and our ungrateful nation, we bury your loved one today. As a Vietnam vet...
Russ, I'm sorry we ran out of time. Thank you for your service. And I know that there's a lot of Americans who are very grateful for the brave men and women, even if the Democrats, the media, and Joe Biden are not. We will be right back with more with Eddie Scarry from The Federalist. Don't go anywhere. We're talking about Joe Biden next.